Let's lift our hands and say,
Our Father,
this evening we receive revelation knowledge that is found in the written word. Today, our eyes behold Christ as He sees us in Himself. He's glorified and we stand edified. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Matthew 28. So there are a couple of things we're going to say tonight that will lead us into our discussion tomorrow morning, and then will lead us into the days to come, or the day to come after tomorrow. Hallelujah. Or the meetings or the services to come. We're discussing on the kingdom of God. Take note of that. The kingdom of God. Glory to God. Matthew 28. I want to say something very fast. From verse 18, Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. He says, go therefore and make disciples of every nation. He says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and no one with you always, even to the ends of the age. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus came and said to them, he said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. You know, many a times believers tend to wonder, what is this authority for? Some people are still finding it hard to know what this authority is for. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Some people think this authority is to gather in the night and fight over demons. Like I always give up this story. Why growing up? We usually have some things we set out to do vigils. Hallelujah. Vigils. And drop air the moment we wake up now in the night. Wake up now! And usually at our backyard we have this big tree. Big tree. You know, don't get jeans with some certain nonsense. Hallelujah. You know, there are people that try to talk nonsense. Say, trees that pop out through which you could transport into the realms of the spirit. Are you mad yourself? I follow you. You get to follow nonsense. So, we just turn and gather and look at that tree. And we are singing, Holy Ghost, fire, burn them all. Wherever Satan and God bring, Holy Ghost, fire, burn. And that period when we are praying, our eyes are usually not open. But you know, we are full of fear. We think we are exercising believers' authority. You know, in exercising believers' authority, if anything falls to the ground, everybody gets tattooed. The song changes gear. Hallelujah. You are laughing because you know it, right? You've experienced it, right? You say, Holy Ghost, I have born here. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, many a times when you focus on the less, on the lesser, you miss the importance of words, or you miss the importance of what was communicated. Hallelujah. Jesus came and said to them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Hallelujah. So what is that authority for? What's the next thing he said? It says, go make disciples. Hallelujah. So the authority of Christ is in raising disciples. Just as simple as that. Hallelujah. So in raising disciples, you will now find Mark 16, 1 verse 16. He said, this sign shall follow them that believe in my name, they will cast out devils. He didn't say they will fight with demons, they will cast out devils. Hallelujah. So believers are more engaged in, I want to borrow a very nasty word that people use carelessly, warfare, spiritual warfare. Hallelujah. Because to us, to me, what spiritual warfare means is not standing in the night to fight a demon. He says you can't fight devils. Hallelujah. If your Bible tells you you should fight demons, he says you cast them off. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So the authority of Christ is for what? Raising disciples. Now, when Jesus says that in Matthew 8, verse 18, he says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. He says, go raise disciples,
Go therefore and teach all nations. That is the word, teach all nations. That is the word in the Greek, matitio. Come on, why is this echoing? It's echoing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It says, it says, go and teach all nations. That is the word matitio in the Greek. That word implies how one is schooled. That's the word matitio in the Greek. How one is schooled in a citadel of learning. Are you hearing me? How one is schooled in a citadel of learning. Where he or she is trained to be a scholar. Tomorrow we're going to expound on this word matitio. Tomorrow we're going to expound on it, but this is the word it is. It says how one is trained to becoming a scholar. A scholar in a particular discipline. Take note of that. You remember we said it's from the noun matitio, where we have the word apprentice. An apprentice is one who is learning a trade. An apprentice does not learn several trades, he learns a singular trade. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you following me? So meaning, what should be taught in discipleship is not multiplicity of things. What should be taught in discipleship is what a specific discipline. Are you hearing me? Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Glory to God. It says go raise disciples. Meaning in raising disciples, you should know that disciples are one who is being enrolled in a school. That makes the local church a school. It makes the church a school, not a... I don't want to use that word. It's a careless word. But it makes the church a school. Are you following me? The church is a school. Where we learn. Are you hearing me? Now it says, make disciples 20. What did they say? Teaching them. So meaning in discipleship or in the church, in the local church, the primary work of the pastor is teaching. You know, there are several times you hear people say, I'm a pastor of this church, but I'm not a teacher, I'm an apostle. You need to be taught. Hallelujah. But the primary role of local church is to teach. Apostles, those who are called apostles are teachers. Hallelujah. You cannot leave the local church without being a teacher. Are you following me? I don't know why I'm going through this route, but I know the Spirit of God is putting me somewhere. Hallelujah. So it's a teaching them. So that means primarily what should be done in the local church is teaching, right? That word teaching is the Greek word didasko. Didasko. Hallelujah. It is a verb. It means the act of instructing. The act of instructing and teaching. The act of teaching. So Jesus was specific on how disciples should be raised. He said teaching them primarily, right? Right? Acts 2:42. He said those who were converted, the 2,000 of them, what happened to them? So they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching, doctrine, didache. Are you following me? They continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching. So meaning the first thing a disciple is exposed to in discipleship is teaching. I was listening to Kenny Hagin performing at it. He was strong about teaching in the local church. Strong. You should be strong about it. Hallelujah. How you know a pastor that cares for his flock is a pastor who teaches his flock more often. Teaches his flock more often. Hallelujah. Learn to teach. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So Jesus told us. He said teaching. Now in teaching, you know, if Jesus just said teaching them, that means he has open room for you to teach everything. But he still narrows the teaching. He says teaching them to observe all whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always. Watch that word from Jesus. Hallelujah. So meaning what should be taught, Jesus told us what should be taught in the church. Meaning I can get to church and know what they will teach me. Hallelujah. What will they teach you? All what Christ has commanded. And what are those things? He said, I am with you always. We had that teaching last 2 weeks last week, into today, right? Hallelujah.
I am with you always. So what should be taught in the local church has been predetermined or has been pre-established by Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
What are we going to be taught? Is that all what I've commanded you? Glory to God. So we have been treated to what should be taught in church. The church is not a business school. Jesus never taught business. So why is it business in church?
I watch my treasures grow. I watch my treasures grow as I let it go.
No, sir. I believe in multiplicity.
How? Walk. Go and walk.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Go and make one of you know. Hallelujah. Go and walk. Glory. Your pastor will do a bad job. I'm warning you before time. Do a bad job. Want to learn business? Go to a business school. Hallelujah. If your pastor is a businessman, meet him after the service to teach you business. Not on the pulpit. Because on the pulpit, what should be taught should be Christ. Hallelujah. Are you following me? So Jesus told us, teaching them what I have commanded you. And what is it? He said, lo, I'm with you always. Hallelujah.
In Luke 24,
open to Luke 24, open to 25. This is Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Luke 24, sorry, verse 44.
Luke 24, 44.
And Jesus came to them and said to them, or he came to them and said, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was yet with you. Isn't that? This was the words which I spoke to you while I was yet with you. That all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Are you following me? Hallelujah! All things must be fulfilled. Luke 24, 44. All things must indeed be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in 45. In the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. He said, and he opened his understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Look at what Jesus made us see. He says, these are the words which I spoke to you. Now, this was at the resurrection. Right? Now, he's teaching them for 40 days. Acts 1 verse 3. He taught them for 40 days concerning the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now, within that 40 days, he says, the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you. What is Jesus saying? He said, what he taught them pre-crucifixion and in the resurrection, they will be the same thing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And where did he point all his teaching from? He said they were written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning it. So that means Jesus' teaching was from the Old Testament books, what we call Old Testament book, Genesis to Malachi. You will find all his teachings from there. Are you following me? Are you following me? I want you to follow me closely because we are going somewhere tonight. Hallelujah. So Jesus' teaching is from the Old Testament book. Look at verses 25. Verse 25, don't go three verses more. Verse 25, he says, he came to them and said to them, amen. He said, all fools, rather, all fools and slow about to believe in all the prophets and spoken. He said, ought not. Listen to what he said. He said, all fools, slow about to believe in all the prophets and spoken. Now, Jesus is teaching them. And he's rebuking them and telling them, this is what the prophets spoke concerning. He says, ought not the Christ. Meaning, what were the prophets teaching? Ought not the Christ. Are you following me? Hallelujah. John will put it this way, say he came to his own, and his own received him not. He said, of not the Christ, to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory. Meaning, what the prophet you spoke about was concerning Christ. Did you see that? He now said, beginning, look at verse 27, beginning as Moses Where is Moses? Okay, Moses. Where is Moses? Moses is Genesis. Meaning, beginning of Moses. When he hear Akei, he is referring to the Genesis. So meaning, beginning of the Genesis, where Moses wrote about. He says, beginning as Moses and all the prophets. Meaning all the prophets who mean from Moses down to Malachi. He said he expounded. That means to explain, Gagameo, to explain their language. He explained to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So, look at what Jesus taught. How Jesus taught. Jesus' teaching was not about seed sowing and reaping. It was not about kill my enemy. Jesus' teaching was not how to make works fast. It's not about investment. It's not about cryptocurrency. Jesus' teaching was not about the first ATM machine. Stop those nonsense teachings. And now I've taught one nonsense one idea. Did you know there was a fear in the days of Jesus? And some of you here were jumping like frogs. Hallelujah.
You saw it here in the Bible. But cover your nest here. Hallelujah. He said, when Jesus bring that money, he said, Peter, get to the fish. That fish was
it here. What was the thing that
he
said? You are jinxed. Huh? How does the ATM card? Look at you. Come on, here, come. Hallelujah. In the beginning of Moses. And all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures. The things what concerning money, the things concerning food, the things concerning himself. What were the things concerning himself? Of not the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory. Are you following that? So Jesus did empire study there. He taught from Genesis to Malachi concerning himself. John 5:39. Now Jesus is rebuking the Pharisees. Quickly open there. Jesus is rebuking the Pharisees. Look at what he said to them. He said, you search the scriptures.
Right, I'm on track.
He said, you search the scriptures. He said, in them you think you have eternal life. Who are the Pharisees? They were the scholars of the scripture. Now he's charging them. He said, you people search the scriptures. In them you think you have eternal life. He said, but no. He said, these are they. What is he referring to? He's saying these are them, that is the scripture. Then they testify about concerning me. These are they that testify concerning me. Meaning the scripture speaks about Christ. Verses 45 of that same John 5. He said, do not think that I will accuse you before the Father. He said, there is one who accuses you. He said, Moses in whom you trust. He said, if you believe Moses, you will believe me. Say, for he wrote concerning me. So many when Moses was writing, he was writing concerning Christ. Remember, we say your theology must be seen in Christology, must be explained in Christology. If not, you have no theology, you have idolatry. God explained outside Christ is idol worship. Are you hearing me? I'm going to explain that to us as we get into pneumaticals after CRC. Hallelujah. God explained outside Christ is idol worship. Is idol worship. I will see from the scriptures. Hallelujah. Is idol worship. Glory to God. Is idol worship. So, meaning what Moses was penning down was the in Christ realities. When Moses built the tabernacle was in Christ realities. Are you following me? What Moses was penning down were the words of Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Glory to God. Was he doing it knowingly or unknowingly? We'll get to find out. I yet will not answer that question to you today. Hallelujah. But though I was told I've answered it, so go and get the date. Hallelujah. Amen. Now I'm non-conscious. I will not say it. Hallelujah. Was he writing about Christ consciously? Wait till understanding the gospel series 3. Then you will know. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But take note. Jesus said he wrote concerning me. Hallelujah. So remember, the Bible will tell us in Hebrews 1, from verse 1. Open to Hebrews 1:1. It says, God who has sundry times and in diverse manner
spoke in time past to those fathers through the prophets. Did you see that? Through the prophets. So that means where the, what the prophets were saying, they were saying spirit-inspired words.
Yes, sir.
Are you hearing me? They spoke spirit-filled words through the prophet. That in, he has, in this last days, in verse 2, in this last days, remember, last days does not mean the end of the world.
It has never meant end of the world in scriptures. Last days doesn't mean end of the world. Does not mean of last days. In the days of the writer of Hebrews, it's called last days. 2,000 years after last days. So that should give you faith that last days is not end of the world. Hallelujah. Last days means at last.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the fulfillment. That is in the resurrection. It is to give glory to God. Hallelujah. He said, as in these last days, spoken to us through his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things. All things will be all the works of the prophets. Hallelujah. So that means we can say the works of the prophets find their fulfillment in Christ. Hallelujah. 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 Take note of this, but it will come alive in the next few minutes. The words of the words of the prophet were Jesus' words. So that means before Christ came in the incarnation, they spoke of Christ's words ahead. Hallelujah. So Jesus was not quoting Moses. Moses was quoting Jesus. Are you following me? Jesus wasn't quoting Moses. Moses was quoting Jesus ahead of time. Those were Christ's words. Hallelujah. Are you following me? You know, Jesus is the authority of scriptures. Matthew 7:28. The Bible said they were astonished at his teaching, for he spoke as one having authority. Meaning he spoke as the one the scripture recommends or the scripture speaks about. You remember those guys were writing ahead of time. So the words they were using is called borrowing in nature. They were writing ahead of time the words of Christ. Are you hearing me? Remember, they were men full of the Holy Ghost. So they were speaking the Spirit's word. They're speaking Spirit-inspired words. They were speaking the words of Christ ahead of time. Are you following me? Are you following me? So you got to see that. You got to know it. Hallelujah. So they spoke the words of Christ ahead of time. So that means you will find their words. What they've said in Genesis to Malachi, you will find it in the words of Christ. You will find it in the actions of Christ. Are you following me? You will find the words of the prophets in the words and action of Christ. We'll get to see that. So Jesus' words and the words of the prophets will stand together. Jesus will not contradict Moses. No. Let me say, Jesus Christ has abolished the law. Jesus has dealt with the law. There's no law. You will then go to 2 Corinthians. Then say chapter 3. You see, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So therefore, there's liberty. Okay, say there's liberty. Brothers, go and wear brazier. There's liberty. Yeah? So where brazier, go to church. There's liberty. Where the Lord, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Go and steal someone's car. And say there is liberty. You'll find yourself in Christian maximum prison in liberty. Come on! Give yourself bread. Hallelujah. Give yourself bread. If you not have bread, borrow one. Hallelujah. All the while Jesus spoke, he spoke his words, which were spoken before time by the prophets. He spoke his words. Look at Matthew 22:35. They came to meet him, testing him, and they asked him, Master, what is that great commandment of the law? Jesus didn't say, no, I've come to abolish the law. No! He said it. He said, you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. He said, this is the first. Right? That is the first. I'm trying to get that scripture back again. Hallelujah. He said, and the second is like unto the first, right? He said, you love your neighbor as yourself. So that is the explanation of what? The Ten Commandments. So there's no abolishment anyway. There's a fulfillment. Hallelujah. Fulfillment is no abolishment. Okay, oh. Let's go ahead. Amen. So the words of Jesus and the words of the prophet will stand together. If you disaccredit the words of the prophet, you are disaccrediting the words of Christ. They will stand together. They will fall together if they fall. Hallelujah. You cannot say, I believe in Jesus and I don't believe in Moses. You are contradicting yourself. Hallelujah. Because the Jesus you are believing in explained from Moses. His words were words first spoken of by Moses. Hallelujah. Are you following me? You have to see that clearly. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, that means what Jesus taught before the resurrection and the resurrection will stand together and they will be from the words of the prophet. That means, where did they all point to? They all pointed to the resurrection. They all for the Christ to suffer this thing and to enter into his glory, resurrection. Are you following me? So the resurrection is where the words of Jesus pointed to. And that is why he told them, teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you, for lo, I am with you. When he said, lo, I am with you, it is what he has commanded them. And the lo, I am with you implies the resurrection. We'll see that tomorrow. Hallelujah. It implies the resurrection. Glory to God. That is the resurrection. So let's go back to see what Jesus taught concerning the resurrection. As intelligent students, right? Guess what Jesus taught concerning the resurrection? Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16. From verse 13. And Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi. He asked his disciples, see, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Hallelujah. I want to say something clearly. And it's not a borrowing of, I don't know how to put it now, but I want to say it clearly. As CRC and our Believers Convention has taken a new turn. For those of you who have noticed that, hallelujah. Though we understood the reason for the CRC before now, since 2005, it's almost the same thing we are doing. But we have to take a new turn because our CRC is like, it's a photocopy. It's a photocopy of Carrie's Cup meeting of Saints Community Church. Hallelujah. Pastor Shego Nonika. Hallelujah. So we are taking that pattern. So today I make bold, though I'm not online. I said I don't do this. Hallelujah. I make bold to say I'm a proud son of Pastor Shego Nonika. And our CRC is taken after his Carrie's Cup meeting. Hallelujah. And which is also a product of, please help me, Pastor, I mean, oh, thank Jesus. Thank God I'm not online. If not, I'll just mess up. Hallelujah. Which is also a prototype of, please, let's help me out. Rema Camp Meeting of Kenne Hagin, who has been a father and a blessing to us and a ministry. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, don't get surprised because sir, we have gone back to Matthew 16:13. And I left it. Hallelujah. That's how I left it. And our Believers Convention takes after him. The same way our GPLR has taken the same step of what? WCC. You don't need a soothsayer to tell you. Hallelujah. You just know. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God. I say I should say that because I'm in Matthew 13. I'm in Matthew 16. Glory to God. So this is what I've learned and we are teaching. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead. Say, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Let me give the answer. But let's look at our wonderful brother, apostle, and minister, Peter. In verse 16, Peter answered and said to him, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Look at what Jesus said to him in verse 17. He said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. We're getting there. When he says flesh and blood,
It means experience.
Hallelujah.
He said, experience has not revealed this truth to you.
Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Peter says, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, that was not by flesh and blood. That is not human experience.
What is Jesus saying?
Jesus is saying that you cannot know God. You cannot know Christ. You cannot know him by your human experience. You cannot know Christ by human experience. Christ can only be known by revelation. So when he says, flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, he said, but my Father who is in heaven. Hallelujah. But look at what he said before he said that. When Jesus said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. When Peter said that, Jesus replied. What was Jesus' reply? He said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Right? Flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Not 18. But I said to you, thou art Peter. You see that? Thou art Peter. Peter spoke to Jesus by revelation and said, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, thou art Peter. What does that make you see? It makes you see that in the revelation of Christ is the revelation of the believer. The revelation of Christ is the revelation of Christ is the revelation of the believer. He said, thou art Peter. Simon means, the meaning of the word Simon. Simon means something that is unwavering. I mean something that is wavering, I now tell you that as Peter. That is the word in the Greek, Petra. It means a rock. Hallelujah. Thou art Peter. Something that is stable and solid. Hallelujah. So, when Peter identified Christ, Jesus gave him his identification. That means a believer is only known in Christ. Hallelujah. A believer is only known and addressed in Christ.
Yes,
sir. He's only known and addressed by revelation. Hallelujah. So, to describe a believer outside Christ is to tell a lie.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. A believer is not a sinner. No. Hallelujah. Glory to God. A believer is not a liar. No. No. A believer is in Christ. Glory to God. Lord, you're a believer? See him in Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Does that mean when a believer does wrong, we will not correct the wrong? No, we will correct the wrong. But you don't change the identity of the believer.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
The believer is sanctified.
Yes, sir.
Even though he committed murder, he is sanctified.
Yes, sir.
He's born again.
Yes, sir.
Full of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
He's got the Holy Ghost. That is the believer. A believer is not broke. A believer is a child of God. You have to see a believer first in Christ. Are you hearing me?
Yes, sir.
The believer is first known in Christ. So are you saying we should not address character? We address character, but that doesn't change who the believer is. Hallelujah.
Yes,
in the book of first letter to the church at Corinth, they have taken on the flesh, that is, they began to walk in the flesh. But Paul said to them, he said, I couldn't speak to you as unto spiritual. He didn't say because of what you have done, you're no longer spiritual. No. Hallelujah. In chapter 6, verse 11, he said, you are sanctified. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Did he address their carnal behavior? He did. But it doesn't change their identity. They are spiritual in Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So we begin to move towards our climax. He now says, so the believer is only known in Christ. We explore this more. Verse 18. He now says, and on this rock,
this rock, I'll build my church.
When he says the word rock, that is the word that refers,
I'm going to say this,
but we're having a teaching meeting in the morning, so make sure you're around. We're going to explore it. When he says on this rock, that word rock, he will use rock to refer to the truth about himself as the Christ. So he says on this rock, he's saying on this truth. You know, when the word rock is used, it's used for a truth that is never going to change. Do you understand me? An unchanging truth. So he says, on this rock I will build my church. Which truth did he just hear? Thou art the Christ. Hallelujah. So on this truth of him being the Christ, I will build my church. That word build is the word in the Greek, oikodomio. Oikodomio is used 41 times in New Testament Greek. 41 times. I thought that was last week. I don't know, but you hear the word oikodomio used for individuals, right? Explain that, right? Those of you around for meeting, get that message. It's not out here. Hallelujah. But yeah. So, it's used 41 times in New Testament Greek. Let's see how Matthew uses it. Matthew uses it in the Synoptic in Matthew 7. Matthew 7, 24. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. It says, therefore, whoever hears this saying of mine and does them, he will be likened to a wise man who built his house on the rock. 25. And the rain descended, and the flood came, and the wind blew and beat on the house, and it does not fall because it was founded. That's what we call of you. It was founded on the rock. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It was founded. Oh, sorry. That's the word built in verses 24. Hallelujah. Built. Built. Hallelujah. In Matthew 21, verse 23. You'll find it also there. Hallelujah. Matthew 21:23. Built. I just came into the temple, and the chief priests and the elders of the people comforted him, and he was teaching and said, by what authority are you doing these things? Who gave you this authority? Am I reading what I'm supposed to read? Hallelujah. Oh, sorry. Sorry. 43. Yes, I need that up. 42. And Jesus said to them, have you never read in the scripture, the stone which the builder rejected has become the chief cornerstone? This is the Lord's doing, and is marvelous in our eyes. Hallelujah. The stone which the builder rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Glory to God. In chapter 23, verse 29. He said, what are you scribes and Pharisees? Hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the monument of the righteous. You build. Did you see how the word build is used? It's not used for something that is happening. It's used for something that has happened. Did you see that? That is how Matthew uses the word build. Chapter 26, verse 61. It says, and he said, this fellow, I am able to destroy, and they said, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple and to build it. Not and to keep building it, and to build it. Something that is done once for all. Not something that you keep doing. Did you see that? Hallelujah. 27 verse 40. And saying, you who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. And be not something that you keep doing. So the word build, oikodomio, is used by Matthew. Matthew did not use oikodomio for what you keep doing, for what you have done once and for all. Hallelujah. And when it has to do with individual, is this all what you keep doing? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So when he says, upon this rock I will build my church, he's not saying building the church is an ongoing work. No, it's something he has done. We'll explore this tomorrow. Hallelujah. Something he has done once for all. He has done it.
They say, now I want to build a church. Let's pray that the Lord will build this church and the gates of hell will not prevail.
That is an that is a prayer of ignorance gone on rampage.
Can you say that? He says, I will build my church. He did not say, I will keep building it. He said, I will build my church. He said, and the gate of hell will not prevail. Are you following me here?
I will build. Glory to God. So the build here is not an ongoing work. Rather, it is what is done once for all. Now when he uses the word church,
I will build my church. That is the word ecclesia in the Greek. Ecclesia. Ecclesia is the word that means to call out one. The way you call out people to come and do something. Hallelujah.
So he said, I'll build here the word church. It means to call people out for a purpose. I will build my called out ones for a purpose. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is not a Jesus word. The church is for Christ. Then I told you the word disciple is not a church, it's not a Christian word, not a Jesus word, no. When you get to Israel and you mention the word ecclesia, all of them know what ecclesia is. Let me tell you one of the few meanings of the word ecclesia in the Greek. Did I say Israel now? Eh? Did I call Israel? I did, sorry. It's Greek. Because it was Greek. Yeah. So when you use the word ecclesia, it's used for how you call people out of their houses, out of their homes, to a public function or a public gathering. That is what the meaning of ecclesia is. When you call people out of their house to come and campaign for CPA, I don't mind if I see CPA. When I turn it upside down, you don't come on street. Hallelujah. No? You have come out of your house for a purpose to carry broom. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We that have umbrella, we are not afraid of any rain. Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God. I didn't campaign for anybody. I just mentioned name of instrument. Right? Did I campaign? Thank you. I did not. Did I? I did not. Hallelujah. Anything you want to think, God will judge you. Amen. I don't want to say something I said last year's believers' convention. I say somebody will go to hell, and some people say, "How can somebody go to hell? It's as a result of your knowledge." Amen. Glory to God. Amen. You have too many channels in your head. So we call those kind of people orin, is it orinla, or how do you call it? Amen. If I bite my tongue. Hallelujah. So, ecclesia, the way you call people out for a public function. Then Jesus said, I will build my ecclesia. When he said, I will build my church, he didn't tell you that there are churches. That's what he means. There are churches, meaning when I say churches, I'm not talking about Pentecostal, Anglican, no, or ministry, no. When you hear churches, I've just directed your attention one way. Churches means a gathering. It might be political, it's called church, it's called ecclesia. It might be because an ecclesia will have an ideology that everybody believes in. I want to mean, it might be political, it might be social cultural, it might be academic. So when Jesus said, I will build my own. Hallelujah! I will build my own. So Jesus is giving a counter narrative. Hallelujah. Though they have what people gather for, he said, I will build my own church. So when he says my church, that means the focus will be on him.
Yes, sir.
Are you hearing me? So meaning the focus of our gathering, Jesus has given us our ideology. The focus of our gathering is on him. The focus of our gathering is Christ. Not money. Christ. Amen. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So what is the focus of our gathering? Christ. So if you are coming here to hear jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle on the way, please go to Father Christmas Club. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Have you my church? My own. My own. Focused on me. Hallelujah. It says, and the gates of hell. Matter. The word hell is the word Hades. Hades. Now, when you use the word the gate of hell, that word Hades means the place of the dead. Hades. The place of the dead. When Jesus uses that word, he shows that the church will be formed from the place of the dead.
That is scripture, but that is the truth.
Hallelujah. The church will be formed from the place of the dead. He said, the gates of hell will not prevail. I will build my church. The place. Now, we read that, you know, when we hear gates of hell, what comes to the hand is Satan. So, let's pray that God will build his church. The gate of hell. Let's come against the environmental demon. The one that says the church of God will not be planted.
People want to go to rampage. They don't care on the roof.
Amen. 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 Is I build my church. And the gate of hell.
Well, when we hear hell, it means the place of the dead.
Oh,
the place of the dead. Yeah.
What you for grain? The dead, the place of the dead. I'll build my church and the place of the dead, the grave. Hallelujah. That is similar to what David said. We'll see David shortly. Hallelujah. The place of the dead will not be there.
David said something similar. He's not using David's words here.
Hallelujah.
The gate of hell.
David said, he said he will not allow my holy one to see corruption. That is David's words. Or that is Jesus' words in the Mount of David. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you following that? Glory to God. So let's begin the round up now. Amen. Second time, right? You're counting it for me. I know myself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the church will be formed on the place of the dead. When it says the place of the dead, it shows that Jesus was going to die. And he said that dead will not hold you, will not stop the church from coming up. Hallelujah.
Glory
to God.
Hallelujah.
So Jesus is saying the dead, the place of the dead, meaning my death will not stop it. What Jesus is saying is that I will resurrect. Jesus is talking about the resurrection here. He said the place of the dead will not stop it.
Glory to God.
So he showed that he was going to die. And death will not overpower him. That is, he will resurrect from the dead. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. That's why I love the song by His song. The song by His. Is it His song, right?
Yeah. Hallelujah. He said, good enough for me. The bell of dawn is calling.
The silence doubles of sin and the heavens are roaring. The praise of your glory. For you are raised to life again.
Let's sing it.
What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand again. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. Question is,
because we read it,
what was Jesus going to be doing 3 days and three nights in hell?
What was happening within those 3 days? I'm going to teach you on what God did, what men saw, and what the church experienced in the 3 days and 3 nights. I'm preparing that for some years to come.
Hallelujah. God did something. The men saw something. Hallelujah. The church experienced something. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
So, what was he doing for 3 days and 3 nights?
Well, some will say, like I have said years back, Jesus went to a battle with the devil.
Hallelujah.
He went to a battle with the devil.
Where's that storyline? I forgot the storyline.
Yeah, flames
away.
Flames away.
Tell me. Hallelujah. I did not find Carlito yet, but no problem.
Hallelujah. What was the battle line? Say, okay, give me the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And then I said, no. And they were trying to push Jesus down.
Where is the bell?
And this guy, they were the demons.
Hallelujah.
So they tried to bring him down. And he said, no.
What was that one again?
I will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. What was that song again?
They are former man of God.
Yeah? Hallelujah. Tell me, please.
Yeah,
who can remember this song?
Yeah,
so there's one part when they were flogging their Jesus. Their Jesus. What was that part? And God now turned his face.
Interesting, you know?
Hallelujah.
Glory to God, you cried at it.
Hallelujah. But let's continue, let's come back. Glory to God. So some people think it was a drama. I heard of a man of God that said Jesus went to a battle with the devil. He said, give me the keys.
Then the devil asked,
who are you? He said, the Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. When they were trying to close him, after the second day, on the third day, light just shone from heaven. And God now, God has turned his back. Now face him now. And now Jesus said that I knew, boom, boom. It's too much Nollywood. He now came to Satan and said, you. He said, I was not going by. Say, you! Give me! And then I gave him the keys. He now said, I got the victory. Now wait your leg. I paralyze him.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Some people have those tales. And the general say, I have the keys of death and of life and of ages.
Who will explain that to us?
What did Jesus really mean by that word? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you know that our word actually means preach the gospel? When I saw it from scriptures, I wept. That is what it means.
John is not saying what Matthew has said in Matthew 28. That is the authority. And tears just began to drop from my eyes. I thought of all the drama. I thought of all the stories.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You got your pastor back, you know. Glory to God. So what Jesus doing? Some people have several funny theologies. But you know we can trust the scriptures to know what Jesus did in the 3 days and 3 nights. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Remember we said the actions and the words of Jesus will be found where? In the mouth of the prophet. So we can look at the prophet and see what Jesus did. Can we do that? Let's see that quickly. Hallelujah. Acts 2 verses 23. We're rounding up now. Woo! Glory! Hallelujah! Hallelujah. Acts 2:23. It says, I'm being delivered. Now this is Peter speaking. It says, I'm being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God. He said, you have taken your lawless hand and have crucified and put to death. Verse 24. Whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. It was not possible for him to be held by death. That is, the gate of hell did not prevail. Are you following me? Was not possible. For David saying concerning him. Woo! David spoke about it. Let's see what David spoke concerning the death. Hallelujah. 25. He said, for I saw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced. You didn't see? Therefore my heart rejoiced, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the way of life. You have made me full of joy in your presence. Then Peter now went ahead to say, David has spoke this thing, he's dead, and his body has seen corruption. But he was speaking concerning Christ. Remember we said, Jesus said in Luke 24, 44 to 47. I mean Luke 24, 25 to 26, into 27. He says, ought not the Christ to have suffered his attention to his glory? Said it was in the words of the prophet. He explained the prophet concerning him. Meaning what the prophet was writing about was concerning Christ. You'll find the words of Christ in their words. They said so many things, but you'll find the words of Christ in their words. Hallelujah. Now, this is the utterance of David. And David is speaking of Christ's work, Christ's words before time. Hallelujah. We were not opportune to have the four gospels write to us about what happened in the dream, because they were not there in the dream. Hallelujah. But you know, when Jesus was explaining, Jesus would take them back to Sam, to David, and say, look at what David wrote. He was concerning what I did. Hallelujah. This was what happened in the 3 days. Hallelujah. David has spoken concerning it. David said, this is his word. Hallelujah. That means when Jesus was in the grave, what was he saying? That will be, you'll find it here. I foresaw the Lord. So Jesus, what Jesus was saying. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is Psalm 16, verse 17. Let's get to Psalm 16. So this was the words of Jesus. Psalm 16. Got to rush with me, and I'm going to be a bit fast. Verse 16, verse 7. He says, I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart instructs me in the night season, for I have set the Lord always before me. These are the words of Jesus. That is, this is what Jesus was saying. Because he's at my right hand, I will not be moved. Hallelujah. In a dead situation, Jesus was saying the word. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Sheol. Hallelujah. Sheol means the place of the dead. Now will you allow your Holy One see corruption? He says, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures evermore. Hallelujah. 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 So that means, he's telling us that when Jesus was there, his body was lying. How do you guys use that word? Our college man. Well, that's why it was lying in state, physically. It was not just in state. No, hallelujah. It means in his death. In a death situation, Jesus was talking.
Yes.
Hallelujah. The word was in his mouth. Hallelujah. He was muttering and saying those words. Yes, hallelujah. In death, he was saying, hallelujah. Yes. You will not allow your Holy One to see corruption. Oh! He says, I'm full of joy. Hallelujah. That will not be an action. We'll get to see that shortly. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Hallelujah. In the face of death, Jesus kept the word on his lips. Look at that verse 25 very well. Of Acts 2. We're going to see something now. Hallelujah. 25. It says, so this was his word. I foresaw the Lord always before my face. He's at my right hand, that I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart rejoice. That word rejoice. Mark that word rejoice. That is the word euphrano in the Greek. Euphrano in the Greek. E-U-P-H-R-A-I-N-O. It's used 14 times. In the New Testament Greek. You have to be fast with me. It's used 14 times in New Testament Greek. It's used for how one makes merry in a feast. Wow. It's used for how one makes merry in a feast. I want you to see this. It's from the Hebrew word shama. Shama. Which implies to express joy in a feast. You know, when you are in a feast and you are rejoicing in the feast. Hallelujah. Wow. You know, when someone is rejoicing in a feast, you know that joy. Wow, joy. The joy in a party. Hallelujah. He said that was what Jesus was doing. That was what Jesus was doing. He says, therefore my heart rejoices. Wow. When you thought his body was in Joseph's tomb. But he was rejoicing. Wow. Glory to God. Let's look at this closely. Rejoice. Another word. Look at another word there. And my tongue was glad. Mark that word glad. That word glad is the word in the Greek agalo. Agalo. That word agalo means to have exuberant joy. Your King of Kings, our Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. You call him Ancient of Days. You call him Oloro, Oloro Boboro. You call him the one who was, who is, and who is to come. He is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's God Almighty. He is God Almighty. The one who began before the beginning began. Or the one who was before the beginning began. He is the beginning itself. Hallelujah. Are you following me? He rejoiced.
Yes, sir.
He had agalo, exuberant joy,
yes,
in a death situation. Oh my mind. That word agalo implies to leap.
You know some people, when people are leaping, they are clapping.
You don't clap in a Holy Ghost meeting. This is a Holy Ghost meeting. No. In the Holy Ghost meeting, we are doing the same thing. You say, why is Pastor just jumping like that? You better key in or key out. Hallelujah.
That we are expressing the joy of the Father.
Hallelujah. That word agalo means to leap. To leap. Hallelujah. See that? To leap. In an uncoordinated manner. A coordinated manner is when you leap, when you do something like this. Is everything is very coordinated. But uncoordinated manner, that is the word agalo. So it was coordinated matter, you know, some people, you know, let me tell you something. When the things of the spirit are not well taught, they'll be lost. Are you hearing me? They'll be lost. Never in the scripture were we taught to dance. You don't have any instruction in scripture to dance. Shake your booty. In fact, I shocked some people recently when I told them the Bible never gave us an instruction to clap. But like, no, I thought I gave my Bible to the person. I took my Bible to work. I took it. Hallelujah. So that doesn't mean your church, you don't clap. Come and clap, let me catch you. That's when you call in my church. I will chase you. You have a serpentine spirit. Chase you. Hallelujah. Chase you out.
I tell you, I say, I just want to clap. Go outside the gate and clap.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So it means to leap. Now it's not coordinated. You know, dance is coordinated. So you will do dance in church. Coordinated, right? So we will now do blessing. It's coordinated. Hallelujah. But Jesus never danced. Jesus never blessed. Hallelujah. What did he do? He rejoiced. Galileo, like a leap, but not coordinated, uncoordinated, meaning the hands is not rhyming with the body. You know, you look like a joker, a head that is.
Hallelujah. That's what Jesus did. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus did.
It's from a root word, agalis. Agalis is used for a little child. Have you seen a little child where a little child wants to walk? I look at it, the little child is about to fall, but a child might not fall.
No.
Right? Uncoordinated.
I wanted to use Munachi the last time, but she's very strong in her feet.
But the problem is not working. You know, you can see that staggering. Hallelujah. And sometimes if she's working, looks as if she wants to fall, but she's grabbing the head somehow. Right? That is agalis. That is the root word. That means it involves. It's uncoordinated, like you want to fall, but you know, hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus,
that's what he was doing. He said, I don't do that for you,
sure, all right, Jesus, my Lord, hallelujah, I will agalo till I eat this day, hallelujah, amen, hallelujah, so it's to live, to jump. So in the 3 days, Jesus was full of joy, rejoicing even in the place of death. Let's see the writer of Hebrews. You know, we must have collaboration, right? I thought of that collaboration. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. The writer of Hebrews now shows us again. Hebrews 12, verse 2. And this is where we'll round up. Hallelujah. Look at Hebrews 12, verse 2. Say, therefore, see, we have surrounded with by so great cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and sin which easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race I said before. In that says what? Looking unto Jesus, meaning our race. I want to go Pentecostal now. See, our race is looking unto Jesus. We are copying him. Hallelujah. We look and we do as he does.
Yes, sir.
Then looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame. Look at it. He said the joy set before him. I've always thought that in years back, as there is a joy before him, which is the believers, right? So Jesus saw us ahead of time and he carried the cross. No. Hallelujah.
Yes, right.
No.
That was not it.
It's a word for the joy that was set before. Look at that word, joy set before. That word, joy set before, is the word prokema.
Prokema in the Greek. Prokema. Prokeinar.
Prokema. You find what you find in 2 Corinthians 8:12. Sir, why are you contradicting? I'm not contradicting myself. I'm only explaining myself further. Hallelujah. John 8:12. Just follow the flow. You see that I'm just explaining myself for that. John 8:12. I mean, 2 Corinthians 8:12. Sorry. It says, for if there is first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has, and not according to what he does not have. It's like the word if there be first. When if there be first a willing mind, it means the willing mind is there. Right? It's not the willing mind, by God. The willing mind is there. Right? If you hear the word, if they be forced. So meaning the willing heart abound is there. If they be forced, the willing heart. Right? That's what he was explaining. Read verses 11. Into 12. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. About Christ being a pastor. He says, it has to be the forced to willing heart. That willing heart has to abound. Glory to God. Amen. So, look at Hebrews 6, verse 18. I guess this might be one of the last scriptures we have. Hebrews 6, 18. Look what it says. It says, by two immutable things, it is impossible for God to lie. We might have a strong consolation. Who has fled for refuge to lay hold on the joy, on the hope set before us. The hope set before us. Oh, it's future. Is that not it? Is that not future? Be a wise student. Go to the next verse. whom the host set before us. He said, this hope we have.
Oh, the hope set before we have. So what he means by the joy set before him was not the joy that he was looking for. No, it's what he has.
Hallelujah.
It's what he has now. So it's a present now reality.
Hallelujah. In Jude 1, he said they are examples for us, meaning they are bound. Jude 1, 7. Hallelujah. Are you following me? They are bound. So when you use the word, when the word prokema is used, it's not used for what you hope to get, said before, no. It's what you have that is with you. Hallelujah. What you have that is with you.
So when I now get to Hebrews 12, verse 2, when it says Jesus, when I get to Hebrews 12, verse 2, when it now says, who for the joy set before him,
will it be? We can look at it and say, who for the joy that he had. Right? Right? Hallelujah. The joy he had. Meaning Jesus went through hell, not with joy ahead of him. He went through hell, the place of the dead. He said, who for the joy set before him. When you can see that, who for the joy that he had. Meaning, those 3 days, he was expressing what with joy.
Are you hearing me? With joy, agape, exuberant joy, exuberant joy.
Hallelujah. No wonder. You know, this Jesus would not mirror this.
Jesus would not mirror this how? I mean, that is Jesus. Paul would not mirror this how? In his writing to the churches.
You look at the church at Philippi. In Philippians 4:4. They were facing tribulation. It says rejoice. In the face of tribulation, I say again, I say rejoice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Peter, in 1 Peter 1, verse 6 to 8, encouraging believers in trial, he says to them, he's encouraging them,
when you're having the trials of their faith, he says that you rejoice.
Meaning rejoicing is the behavior of the believer. Jesus, in the face of a death situation, was rejoiced.
In Luke chapter 10, verse 21, they came to meet him and said, Master, even the demons are subject to us in your name.
And he looked at them. You know, they were rejoicing and they were rejoicing and said, Master, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Woo!
We just said, out! And he went, including Judas Iscariot, who was there. You know, he was one of them. He said, stay out! And demons went, woo! And they went, woo! And they thought Jesus would join them to be rejoiced. And just saying, he says, I beheld Satan fall from light from heaven as lightning. He said, but I give you power. No, rather I said, he said, I give you power to tread upon scorpion. I mean snakes and scorpion, and over every works of the enemy. And all they shall by any means hurt you. He's telling them, I gave you this power.
Hallelujah.
Are you following me? He said, nevertheless, in this rejoice you, that the demons are subject to me in your name. Is this the reason why miracles happen, but we don't express, is the one who receives miracle that express joy for miracle. But we don't take it overboard. Are you hearing me? Don't take it overboard and put it in and say, woo! And then, no. Miracles are bound. Hallelujah. It does. But Jesus said, in this, rejoice not.
You cast that demon and you're spreading it all over Facebook. You never find me do that.
I've never, I will not, and I will never.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. We had one of our pastors here command a demon out of someone. And before he did that, he did some gengesha. Hallelujah. He did some genge. He says, the demon, who am I?
And the demon says, you are God. In his head, he has blue.
But don't worry. But you didn't see that on Facebook.
You didn't. You didn't see that as I was just walking by, what about this street?
Adekule Street.
The madman you people used to know by the gate. I just lay down on his neck and began to walk. In the rotation of my head. In the unfortunate case of what you do, my life. He said, in this rejoice not,
that demons are subject to you. He said, rather, rejoice that your name are written in heaven. Now he says, in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit. You see, Jesus, that word rejoice is the word agani in the spirit. That means it is Jesus' nature. So when you see it, when you see the writers, the prophets speak about it, that this was what he did in the grave, you shouldn't be amazed. It's his nature. Hallelujah. It's our nature. Glory to God. When these situations come, just learn to just know this is who you are. Hallelujah. Agalio is not for Holy Ghost meeting. No. Laughing is not for believers meeting. It's not for Sunday service. It is the nature of the believer. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me?
Yes, sir.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Whether the news is good, ugly, or bad, I don't care. Hallelujah. I learn to rejoice. Hallelujah. It's my nature. Hallelujah. Here's who we are. This is how we behave.
Yes, sir.
Let me use that word. This is how we behave.
Yes, sir.
This is how we behave.
Yes.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
This is how we behave.
Hallelujah.
It is our nature. This is what is consistent with us.
Hallelujah.
This is how we behave.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Amen. We are always at our last. We always rejoice. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
It's our nature. Just go.
Amen.
Are you
ready? Yes, sir.
You are coming,
big man. I don't move
your nose. Hallelujah.
Yes,
glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Just go.
Woo! Hallelujah.
Woo!
Glory.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.